All right, let's continue to explore God's Word. As I mentioned, of course, Easter is just a couple of weeks away, so today I want to turn our attention to some conversations that Jesus had with his disciples the days leading up to his arrest and his crucifixion. We're going to take a closer look at the Last Supper these next 2 weeks. All four of the Gospels tell us that on the night before Jesus was arrested, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And during that meal, Jesus revealed some disturbing things to his disciples. He told them he would be betrayed. He told them he was going away. And he said that you can't come with me. And just so you know, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. If you want to open up your Bibles to John 13, we're going to be starting there today. But before we read that, I want you to just try to put yourself into the place of one of those disciples at this time. These were people who had left their former lives behind to follow this Jesus for 3 years. They saw him grow in fame and influence. They were there when he performed great miracles. They saw crowds of people coming to him. They witnessed his teaching and his interactions with the religious leaders as they tried in vain to trip him up. In so many ways, Jesus proved himself to be a wise and authoritative teacher of the kingdom of God. And he showed himself to be a man of compassion as he to those who were cast aside by the religious elite. In all these ways, he proved to them that he was the Messiah. And these disciples, they got to be there with him through it all. They got to be part of it. He even at one point empowered them to go out and perform miraculous signs on his name. They were part of this exciting time with Jesus, and they knew without a doubt who he was. To them, being the Messiah meant that he had the power to overcome their oppressors, that he would be the new king to make Israel great once again. And their hope was set on being with him for all of it. They saw an opportunity for great rewards by being close to him, and they would remain by his side as all of these things unfolded in their thoughts and their hopes. They were anticipating great things to come, but now during this Passover meal, everything was falling apart. Their world, their dreams were crumbling. Their hope in Jesus' earthly throne was being stripped away. Jesus said he would be taken away from them. So let's read what Jesus told them, beginning in John 13, verse 31. When he was gone, referring to Judas, Judas had just left the Last Supper, says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Imagine how devastating that news was for the disciples. You cannot come with me. A new command I give you, he says. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. So Jesus is telling these people who have devoted their lives to him, all of you are going to deny me tonight. You can't come with me. And from the disciples' perspective, can you imagine how confused they must have felt in this moment? How frightened they may have felt? What was to become of Jesus? What was to become of them? Their lives depended on this hope they had in Jesus. And it's not too hard for us to relate to those kinds of feelings, the confusion and the hope when life goes in directions we don't expect or plan for. We live in a world that can be chaotic and confusing. We do our best to make plans, to prepare for what's coming in life. We work hard to build stable lives, and yet we also know that unpredictable and dangerous things can happen at any time. Our hopes and dreams can be stripped away in a moment. Whether it's the weather, or worldwide political crises, or even just random circumstances, there are all kinds of forces beyond our control that can change our lives in a moment. And we know this to be true. Some of us have experienced it more than once in our lives. Right now in our world, for a whole lot of reasons, anxiety and despair are at an all-time high. It's not difficult for people to become frightened and confused about what's happening in their lives. Where are things headed? What's going to become of me? And we look to Jesus in those moments wondering, what does this mean? And can Jesus do anything about it? Can he help fix these situations? We pray every week for God's help, provision in so many ways. Life is like that. You can relate to what the disciples were experiencing in this moment. So how does Jesus respond to these fears, the chaos, the rapid changes that can happen in life? As we continue to read in John 14, he speaks not only to the disciples standing in front of him, but he speaks to all of us as well. So let's pick it up again in John 14, verse 1. Jesus responds to his disciples as they're wondering and asking where he's going and why can't we come with you. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." This is his initial response to them. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. So as you look out of the world, as you struggle with your own personal daily challenges, Jesus' initial response to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. And it's not because he's promising to take it all away and make it all good. Where does he turn his attention right away? To himself. Trust in God. And trust in me also. It's as though he is saying, take your eyes off all of the stuff that you see before you. Don't dwell on your personal struggles and how they're going to be resolved. First and foremost, look to me. Your hope, your peace, your perseverance, all of those things start with believing in God and believing in me. Believe in God the Father. Believe in God the Son. Trust him with everything. Trust him when you don't know how life is going to turn out. Trust him when everything is falling apart. And this is echoed in other areas of the Bible as well. If you turn to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, we read about fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that it so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." I'm going to stop right there. Fix our eyes on Jesus. How do you run with perseverance? How do you cast off the sin, the things that entangle you, the things that hinder you? Fix your eyes on him. Set aside every weight. Set aside every sin. Fixing your eyes on him as we run this race set before us. And we can turn back to Matthew 6, where Jesus says not to worry about our lives. Do you recall what he said? Or you can look in Matthew 6:33. What was he said? What was it he told us to do first and foremost? Seek out the kingdom of heaven. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. Right? Again and again, Jesus calls us not to look first to how am I going to fix this? How am I going to survive this? What is God going to do? No, just look to me first. Just trust me. Trust your life to me. In so many ways, he says, I am enough. Look to me first. Let me handle everything else. When life is uncertain and chaotic, the first thing we should learn to do is seek Him. Fix our eyes on Him. He is our hope and our comfort. Let's go back to John 14 and see the promises Jesus gives as He follows up. As He says, believe in Me, trust in Me. He goes on to tell about the things that He provides. John 14, starting in verse 2, He says, in My Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with Me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place that I am going. So the first thing He points to is that I ultimately don't worry about what happens to you in life. I have a place for you. I'm going to My Father to prepare a place for you. So when we experience the uncertainties of life, we need to know that our security, our overall wellness, is ultimately not in what happens to us here in this life. I have a friend who always would, his words always ring in my mind when I think about this. He said, go through all the things that could happen to you, that could lead to your ultimate demise. You're all alone. You go through the worst circumstances. You lose everything, and then you die. And then what happens? You go be with Jesus. You win. Exactly. Right. Ultimately, whatever happens to us in life pales in comparison to the life that is to come. And that is one of the great promises that Jesus provides. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't worry about your life so much. Trust Me. You can be with Me always. Psalm 118, 5 through 6 expresses, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6. What can man do to you that God cannot ultimately overcome? His promises are true. His ultimate promises are true. Because of Jesus, we can look beyond all the sin and brokenness and uncertainty of this world and say, I am well. It is good. Because Jesus has me. In the next couple of verses of John 14, Jesus redirects us back to Himself, picking it back up again in verse 4. He says, you know the way to the place I am going. And Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and you have seen Him. And when I read that and think about trusting our lives to Jesus, I think so often we, like Thomas, want to know how we're going to get through these things. He says, how do we find You, Lord? What's the way to get to You? And we look at our lives and we go, Jesus, what are You going to do? Help me get through this. What's the path? What's the way forward? But the answers we need are really not found in what Jesus does for us or what He provides for us, but rather in who He is. There are no guarantees in life that this world will work out the way we want it to. Can you imagine what life would be like if God tried to make everyone's life the best it could possibly be? How much control He would have to have over every one of us? We'd have to strip away our will to choose, right? Exactly. Right. Right, right. The things that I want aren't necessarily the best for you. And what would God have to do to make that happen? Life just doesn't work that way, right? We would have to live alone. And no, that's not the best world, that God just takes everyone else away. In case your mind goes there. Right. The point I'm trying to make is that God doesn't answer our prayers always by saying, okay, I'll fix that for you. There are no guarantees. And Jesus doesn't promise that in his Gospels. When you really look, he actually says you're going to have trouble. The answers are not found in what Jesus will do for you in the path before you. The answer is him and who he is. He gives every person, or a loving God is not going to control the outcomes of our lives. But we can know that he is trustworthy. We can know that we can depend on him. That whatever comes before us, he is with us. And he will be with us always. He knows his plans for us. He knows why he's allowing things to happen in our lives. And being near him, even through the most difficult circumstances, is far greater than anything else the world can offer. Just being with Jesus is the best possible place to be. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we can look at our lives and say, it is well, because of who Jesus is. And finally, look at John 14, 25 and 26. Where Jesus says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So while Jesus is telling them, I'm going away, in the end, he reminds them, or he tells them, he's not going to leave them alone. And Jesus doesn't leave us alone either. We have a guide, a teacher, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus has sent to dwell with all those who put his faith in him. We can have confidence that the Spirit is with us in everything. And Jesus ends here saying again, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Emphasizing again, you can let those cares go. Just trust in me. My peace I leave you, he says. My peace I will give you. He gives us peace, but not as the world tries to do. The world tries to remove trouble, one piece at a time, without really knowing the full outcome. Jesus instead adds himself in to our troubles, covering over all of it with his presence, with his power, with his wisdom, with his ultimate promises. And he gives us access to himself for all eternity, so that we may find peace beyond our circumstances. The world's peace is fragile because it depends on the absence of conflict. But Jesus' peace is unbreakable because it is built on his finished work. We can have confidence in him. As Jesus continues to speak to his disciples about the things to come, we turn to chapter 16, John 16, and he gives this summary. John 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Yes, past tense. He has done this. His work is finished. And because he has finished the work, we can have confidence in him. What I want us to see as we go into Easter is that our hope is not so much in what Jesus does for us, but in who he is, in his presence, no matter what we go through in life. And we've all going through all kinds of things. We can say, it is well. Because Jesus is alive. This is the truth that we live by. We have troubles in our world. And in spite of that trouble, we have peace because Jesus has overcome this world and offered himself to us. Because of him, we are well. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son and for the incredible promises that we have through him. Thank you for showing us a love that does not end. It does not change. There is nothing in this world that can take you away from us. We thank you for the assurances that you give us in you. May we all continue to deepen our understanding of how incredible this promise is, that no matter what happens to us, it is well. We praise you, Lord Jesus, in his name. Amen.